can implement it, the different, you know, but expand that concept, because that doesn't really cover all the things that really, I believe, God wants to ask for us to understand how to mix God's word with us, with our way of connecting to the word, so that the word is effective. Okay, it's important to realize that the word in itself is not enough. We have a part we play. The part we play is critical, because we need to be participating in the process. And if we don't participate, nothing happens to us. You know, things happen only to those that are actually participating in the process. See, not everybody is saved. Salvation is for everybody, but only those who respond to what Jesus has done believe it, and it applies to themselves, and exercise their faith. Then they are going to be able to make that connection, that you know, interaction with Him, to receive the benefit of His work, of what He has done. So this is important for us to realize and understand that our part is just as fundamental and just as important as His part. And we are really, in Hebrews chapter 3:19, it says, you know, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You see, we had to have belief in our part. Hebrews 4:1, therefore, since a promise remains to entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seems to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit to them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And so the idea is simple. Okay, our job, you know, is not God the problem when we don't receive. The problem is that He has done everything that needed to be done to achieve the purposes that He sent it for, His word. But and more, you did more, much more than that. But you know, now is our part to be able to appropriate and receive and manifest in us, in ourselves, the result. And we're going to see how that actually takes place and what is involved. That is more, just even more than just, you know, faith and word. You know, there are other factors coming into the picture that we need to understand. So the two sides in this process are God and you. God has done His part. His part is completed. Okay? And He did no more than one thing. And this, we have to realize that. Okay? First of all, He gave the Word. The Word that is fully established in heaven from the beginning. There is nothing to change, nothing to add to it. Okay, so that's the first thing. Then He sent Jesus to fulfill the plan that He had for us so that we could benefit. And Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. So even that is completed. Okay, then send His Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Now that part is not completed because we had to respond to the Holy Spirit too, that is guiding us. And this is the function, that's the only part that God has to do today. So, you know, we had to connect with the reality of the first, that the word is established, and so that it has an impact on the way we respond to it, and to be, for us to be consistent with what the word says. Back to Jesus' finished work on Calvary is done, and so we had to operate on that basis. Jesus doesn't have to do anything for us today. We had to do something about ourselves. But the Holy Spirit, who is now our helper, our guide, our that empowers us, the one that makes the difference today, is the thing we have to receive, and we receive him as a result of responding when Jesus is not. So that's the key thing, okay? But we have to end that connection with him. And then is our part, which has to do with aligning ourselves according to the direction of the Holy Spirit to receive the manifestations. Our part, okay, involves a number of things. First of all, involves renewing our mind with the Word. Okay, Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to make proof what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that process, you know, is critical and important as we apply the Word to ourselves, as we apply our thinking. And this, you know, it's just more than studying, just more than think, it's more meditating, you know, dwelling in the Word, letting the Word dwell in you. Okay. And, you know, if you go in Philip chapter 4, you know, expand on that process, verse 6, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. See, the idea is, you know, do not worry, do not fear, you know, these are works of the flesh, as we are going to see, and they are going to be hindering you, actually, from receiving from God. If those things are operating in you, they stop God's operation and manifestation in your life. And we're going to see how you go about doing, changing that. So, and then says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart with the minds through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. And the peace, now we see, be anxious, anxiety, fear, worry is part of the work of the flesh. The peace of God is a fruit of the Spirit. You see, we had to learn to substitute all the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is actually critical for us to be able to line up with God's Word and to appropriate the manifestation. Lots of people, I believe, and I really think I fell on that mistake some time ago myself, you know, that the key thing were the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I come to realize that actually the key part in the manifestation of God's power is not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there are many indications in the Bible to that being the truth. All right, so let me continue here. Finally, brethren, and then, you know, the way we focus ourselves, the way we think, the way, you know, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, and whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and there is anything praiseworthy, meditate in these things. See, our meditation is critical, but has to be directed in the right way. Okay? The things which you have learned and receive, and you heard, and so in me, these things do. For the God of peace will be with you. And there it is. Again, you know, the God of peace, talking about peace, God about in other places, talking about rest. You know, those are actually fruit of the Spirit that are manifested in us when we are connected with God. There is no anxiety. There is no worry. There is no concern. There is nothing that, you know, take us, you know, the wrong thing. And this is the concept, that concept that we should not fear, is repeated over and over in the Bible. Okay, fear not is found in so many places, in Old Testament and New Testament. You know, example, Isaiah 41:10, you know, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God.
Yeah.
I will strengthen you.
Amen.
Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. See, This is really the thing. You know, there are so many scriptures, and you know, it's no use to try to list them all, but a couple of them I'm going to do, you know, like Joshua 1:6, again, you know, be strong and good, be of good courage. For to these people you shall divide as inheritance the land which I swore to their father to give them. Doesn't make any difference the objective or the things that one has to receive. The same principles apply, and so the same process takes place. You know, it is not a formula. You know, it's a spiritual progression. It's a spiritual application of the truth. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing that has to take place. Okay? So, again, you know, so be strong and of good courage, for to these people you shall divide the inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the laws which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper in whatever you do. This book of the law shall not be far from your mouth, but you shall meditate in day, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And, you know, I continue with saying this, I have not commanded you, be strong and good courage, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. And that's the concept, that's the idea. You know, people that say, oh, Lord, be with me. No, you know, the problem is not the Lord not to be with us. The problem is us not to be with the Lord. So that's what we have to remember. He is there, we are there with him. So be strong and good courage, and don't be afraid, and don't be dismayed. The Lord and God is wherever you go. So that is how do you achieve that? How do you achieve that? Well, there is one simple way. We have to walk in the Spirit. And I think that when we talk about walking in the Spirit, one has to understand what I'm talking about. You know, walking in the Spirit, lots of people think, you know, is somebody operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I really think,
no,
that's not true, and it's demonstrated by a lot of scripture that I can quote to you. But the point is, you know, in Romans chapter 8, okay, says, well, nice, and I'm going to give you an advance of understanding. See, walking in the Spirit involves controlling your thoughts and emotions to align themselves with the Word of God. And we're going to see that in detail. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, therefore, it is therefore not condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So that's the thing. That's the idea. Walking according to the flesh and versus walking according to the Spirit. So we should know when we are walking according to the flesh and when we are walking according to the Spirit. If we don't know the difference, then we cannot choose. And here is saying something that shows actually to us that we have a choice of how we walk. We have to understand that we are completely making the choice of how we walk. And we can do that and apply that constantly, so that we are not going to be under condemnation, that we are not going to be, you know, destroying, you know, the work, you know, we are going to be in the position to re- receive from God whatever we need. We have to understand that. That's very important, because lots of time, you know, people don't know what is the matter, why they are not getting the result they expect, and then they start blaming God, and they start thinking this stuff doesn't work. No, it's not true. That's, you know, what actually is, you don't understand what you're doing, and this is why you get confused. Because there are lots of teachings that are teachings of men, and not what the word says. Okay. So, going here in verse 2, therefore the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so that's really the important thing to understand, that we become free of the condemnation, of the sin and death, and we are starting the life in Christ Jesus that is made us free. Okay? We need to understand that. Okay? And we cannot do that in ourselves. We have to line up with the Word of God. God received from Him. Okay? So, now, the fact that there has been so much emphasis on the gift of the Holy Spirit, okay, made, I believe, people think that the power of God was manifested just in the gifts, and that's not true. I believe that much more of the power is manifested. You know, the gifts are not going to be pure unless one is operating on the fruit. I see lots of people thinking that they are operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they are just completely fleshy. These are not the Holy Spirit gifts. This is, you know, the problem is that the gifts of God are without repentance. So somebody that gets some experience there, they end up continuing operating in them even if there is not God. You have to understand that, and that has a strong implication. And what we have been talking about from James chapter 1 is a demonstration of that. In James chapter 1, verse 1, you know, verse 2, you know, talking about, you know, my brethren, count it all joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Okay. When you fall into various temptations. I got more negative reaction from people, you know, about not feeling joy it's an impossibility to do. No. This is fruit of the Spirit. I mean, that talk here about walking in the Spirit. Okay. Count it all joy when you fall into various temptation, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Faith and patience are two fruit of the Spirit. And let patience have this perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, joy, faith, patience work together. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, the fruit is just one. A different aspect, different manifestation, but the Holy Spirit fruit is really the result of the operation of the Holy Spirit in you that manifests itself through this different aspect or this different manifestation of fruit. Okay, so this is the key to walk in the Spirit. See, patience is important, you know, in the perfecting factors of faith. If you have faith, but you don't have patience, your faith is not going to last. So, if you want to get results from your faith, you have to exercise also the other gift, the other fruit, which is patience. All the other fruit of the Spirit are all connected, one with another, so that they operate in functioning at the same time. And when we are trying to exercise one of the fruit of the Spirit and we ignore the others, we end up failing because we cannot hold that fruit functioning properly and producing results. patience maintains, you know, an attitude of faith that otherwise you cannot preserve. Okay, so there are different kind of fruit. And actually, you know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, mention a few. I really don't think there are all the fruit of the Spirit, there are other ones. I can give you a few more. Okay, Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, singular, not plural, it's just one, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Lots of people said, you know, you talk about self-control. Oh, yeah, I don't have self-control. Oh, as soon as you say something like that, you cut yourself off from any possibility to walk in the Spirit. God is telling us here that we have to believe, if we have the Holy Spirit, that the evidences of this fruit is going to be manifested in our life. That's part of the faith that we need to require, the belief that we need to have. Okay, this is essential. You know, you can say, I don't have self-control, you know, because if you don't have self-control, you cannot keep faith. And if you cannot keep faith stable and solid, you're never going to get the result that you are trying to receive. Are you still there? Pretty evident. But, you know, generally, people ignore that part. And they say, well, you know, I'm not very patient. Well, I'm sorry, if you are not very patient, you're going to crash all the time when you're trying to get any result. So unless we line up, you see, we are not lining up with the Word of God. We are not renewing our mind. If we are trying to meditate on scriptures on faith and ignore all the other fruit of the Spirit, because if they are not there, we are wasting our time. Okay? So, and I'm telling you that there are even more. I mean, trusting God is a fruit of the Spirit. The fear of God is a fruit of the Spirit. Godliness is a fruit of the Spirit. Compassion, which Jesus had all the time, is a fruit of the Spirit. And they are pretty evident. They're not too difficult to think. But the point is, how you manifest the fruit of the Spirit, that's the critical thing. And I've been teaching about faith and trying to correct the wrong idea that faith is something that comes from God, which is not true. Faith is something you decide to have. Faith is a decision. I've been saying that for probably 20 years, probably more. Faith is a decision you make. It's the decision you make to believe God. And then you have to hold on to that decision. The point is, can you hold on to that decision when the evidences or the pressure or the other things are contrary to saying exactly the opposite of what you're trying to get? That is when you actually don't, faith is not enough, but you need also patience. Because if you are trying to are there always, every moment. When is it going to happen? Whatever is going to happen. Well, what you're doing actually is destroying your faith, because that is lack of patience. You need patience operating with faith. And so, you know, the same way you decide to believe God for something, to exercise your faith, as soon as you realize that you start lacking patience, you becoming impatient, then one of the, you know, what happens is actually in yourself, what is developing there is actually, you know, something that is a work of the flesh. and he's destroying your faith, and he's going to annihilate that. So what you have to do is the same way as you decided to choose faith to agree with the Word of God, now you have to decide about having patience and exercising your patience with another choice that you have. And as soon as you do that, the attack on your faith is going to disappear, because you hold on to your faith by your patience. And so your patience just does nothing else that reinforce or support the operation of your faith, that you don't need to go around, you know, panicky and fearful about, you know, not coming across, not God coming across or whatever. You know, but instead you trust God. Trust God is another fruit of the Spirit. So that's another thing that you have to decide to do in that case. As soon as you get fearful, you know, it says, fear not, I am your God. And so that's the thing you have to do. You make a decision to believe and fear God. This is what for example, the things on the verses from Joshua says. You know, exactly the same thing. So it's the same thing that applies all over again. You know, the fact that you had to believe and trust God, so that, you know, and it's not maybe in the area, you just trust simply God, you know, and you believe God, and you trust, and you have patience about the way it's going to happen and everything else. So you're just starting to develop, you know, all of this fruit of the Spirit as the need arises, as you need. As you are going through situation in which you are operating, that you are walking, you have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit means you choose to operate according to God's spiritual fruit. Operating in the Spirit or walking in the Spirit is nothing else than choosing to walk according to the fruit of the Spirit. So that's the way they are manifested. They are manifested by you choosing them and establishing them. And you know, and what does the Galatians says exactly the same thing. Galatians chapter 5 verse 24 says, and this, you know, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desire. What is crucifying the flesh with his passion and desire? Instead of passion and desire, you know, just use the word emotions, feelings. Okay, so we have to crucify. That means we don't go according to, I'm fearful, oh, I don't know what I have to do. No, you just choose to be at peace. You choose to instead believe God. You choose to focus on the Word. You choose to do. And so all the things come together to reinforce one another. And they work together. Now, it doesn't happen because you just try to do that. You know, you have to be in the Word to do that. You have to be, and we're going to see there are a lot of scriptures showing that. But the idea is that what you do is you refuse or crucify the flesh and its desires, these ideas, the fear, the other things, the emotions, okay? And, you know, and then goes on, Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, and that means, you know, if we Spirit filled, if we have the Spirit in us, let us also walk in the Spirit. You walk by choosing what the steps you take. It's not just something that happens, you know, mystical. It's simply something that you decide logically, according to the understanding that you have of the fruit and of the Word. Okay. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is a choice we make. God doesn't ask us do something if we cannot do it. And if we don't understand that this is a choice that we can make and how to do it, we are never going to be able to do it. So you can walk in the Spirit. I hope you believe that. Because if you don't believe that, you're never going to be able to do it. You need to start with connecting to the Word here. For example, this verse that we just finished reading, it says, yes, I can do it because God says I can do it. But you have to understand how you do it, and the way you do it is how I explained it before. Okay? We can live in the Spirit, you know, by not responding, by being controlled by the flesh and by our feelings and by our emotions, but crucifying them with the passions and the sorrow and the emotion that they come about. That is the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. And let me say something about that. The natural man lives unconsciously. That means, you know, he just lives reacting to the feeling that has inside himself, which are emotions, feeling, and so on. He is controlled by his passion and desire and emotions. And so out of that, naturally, comes the work of the flesh. It says, now when the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, you see, these are evident. So you can identify them very clearly. There is no justification for getting into them. Not for somebody that is as the Holy Spirit working in them. If you fall into that, it's because you chose to fall into that. Okay? Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like. That means, you know, there are many more that are the results of the flesh operating in us, in you. Okay. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you see, what happens, you must choose what is of value for you, what is meaningful to you, what you want. If you want those things, then you are going to let those feelings and emotions guide your action. But if you want the kingdom of God, then you are going to do what the Holy Spirit says for you to do. You choose to practice, okay, the kingdom rather than practice those emotions and fear. That's as simple as that. Okay? Your heart, what your heart wants, is the one that determines which one you're going to choose and what you're going to get. The kingdom or not inherit it. That means not getting the result. Which is the same thing as reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, says, you know, that you have to do something. You put off. That means you choose to refuse those things concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Again, talking about emotions operating within you. Okay, you put it off. That means you make a decision. Christianity is all about decisions. And you have to decide according to what God says instead of deciding according to the way you feel. And you're going to do that if you value more the kingdom than your feelings. And the benefits you're going to get is that actually God's word is going to be effective and powerful. Even the power of God is going to be operating in you, manifesting in your life, supernatural. Because it is not your power, You see, it's not what the only thing you do is line up with the word of God, so that the fruit of the Spirit are there, so that the Holy Spirit power can come be working through you, and then His power is going to bring the manifestation of the things He promised. The difference between this natural man that we're talking about and the spiritual man is the spiritual man lives consciously. That means he's aware of what's going on inside himself, his attitude, his feelings and emotions. And he keeps the word in his heart. You know, Proverbs 4:24 and so on. Keep the word in his heart, lives in the world, stay in the world, judges his attitude according to the word and his emotion according to the word, and crucify them in the desire and passion contrary to the word. Out of his heart will come out the fruit of the Spirit instead of the works of the flesh. Okay. So this is why, you know, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on. You see, another decision you put on. Okay, the new man which was created according to God. See, that's what happens. If the new man is created according to God's principle, in true righteousness and holiness. Okay. And this is why, you know, what I said on before, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is what makes the difference, to release God's power in us, so that His power can produce the result that the promises give. We should be able to get the promises of God if we are in Christ Jesus. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are going to have, okay, we are going to be choosing the right thing. We are going to be walking in the Spirit. We are going to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. If we don't manifest the fruit of the Spirit, we are fooling ourselves about following God. I don't want to keep going forever yet. There is more that actually Jesus Himself thought about this. And that I think we're going to maybe talk next week. But the important thing for us to understand is that, you know, walking in the Spirit is a choice we make by moment, according to which we go and follow the Holy Spirit direction and choose to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which are pretty clear and there is no question of confusing them, and are different from the works of the flesh. And we refuse to operate according to the work of the flesh and crucify those things. And as we do that, then we are going to see the operation of the Holy Spirit in our life, enabling us to obtain the promises. Otherwise, we are not going to get in the promise of God. This is what says, you know, the promises. You know, God's promise, a yea and amen for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, to the glory of God. Amen.
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 Understanding this can make a difference, because otherwise people try to manipulate God to do the things that they want, and doesn't work. You know, he doesn't need to do anything. He doesn't need, you know, it's you. When you are lined up with the Word of God, then automatically what you're going to see is the operation of the, the fruit of the Spirit, and when it's necessary, also the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in you. That are going to be true, they are going to be powerful, they are going to be manifest. manifesting God power in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Going to close here today with that.
I was just thinking at 11 o'clock, Rich, though, that as usual, by 11 o'clock, you've given me more than enough to think about for 2 weeks and to ponder.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this is something that is not thought, is not explained. Actually, the idea that I have always heard is that the fruit of the Spirit is something ethereal and something mystical that the Holy Spirit does himself. No, these are decisions we make that we know. I'm going to, you know, be at peace. I'm not going to let my thoughts be controlled by the enemy, or by my passions, or by my feelings, or by my emotions. Okay. That means, you know, that exercising a fruit of the Spirit, which is called self-control. So if you say you have no self-control, you are lost in before you start.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Some people say, I don't have any patience. Well, I'm sorry, if you don't have any patience, you're not going to be able to get anything from God.
No.
Mm-hmm. He has given you the Holy Spirit so that you can have patience. He has given you the Holy Spirit so that you can have love. He has given you the Holy Spirit so that you can have faith. But you have to choose to have faith. You have to choose to have peace. You have to choose to think right instead of allowing your thought be controlled by your emotions. Many Pentecostals will understand that.
So, Mauricio, the fruit then is like a barometer for how to the extent and measurement to how what extent we are walking in the Spirit.
Yeah. If you want to use that as a thing, to me it's you know, more than if you look at it as a barometer, you know, you can say that. The other thing, you see, let's go a moment back to the consciousness component, okay? Conscious living, if you remember that, something I thought some time ago, okay, is important. You have to realize you cannot walk right if you don't know where you're going. So, you have to know where you're going, that means you have to know what's going on inside yourself. And so you have to make decisions accordingly, you know, if you follow, you know, what your feelings are. People that are just reactive, they have a messed up life, and they mess up everything. And they generally end up being failure. People that take charge of their life and make decisions accordingly, according to the Word of God, then they're going to make the right decisions, and they're going to be profitable, they're going to be a good success. You see, the meditation component is just nothing else than enabling you to have the proper information to make the right decision at the right time. The Word inside you guides your decision moment by moment. And so that's why you have to be in the Word, and the Word has to be in you. And you, as you are walking, you walk. What you do walking is, you know, walking means you take a step after the other. And you take a step, it's a decision on what you're doing. Okay? Always decision. Always step. Always going on. You know, it's not just going by the feelings or going by the way, you know. That gets you nowhere. It gets you in trouble and gets you in the flesh and mess up your life and the life of those around you.
Amen.
I'm sure for some people it's the first time they hear something like that.
Can I make a comment, Mauricio?
Good morning, Elizabeth.
We talked at the same time, Elizabeth. You go ahead.
Oui, bonjour, bonjour tout le monde. Bonjour l'église.
Bonjour.
Bonjour pasteur.
Bonjour.
Je suis content d'être au Canada à nouveau.
Mm-hmm.
Et c'est beaucoup de bénédictions pour moi de suivre les prédications du pasteur Boris.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All right. So, Defino, I ask you to give some thoughts to what I share. Look at the scripture and the way they are connected, and what they are actually saying. Drawing conclusion what they are saying rather than going by what generally people read through and don't understand what is going to be said and make assumptions on the result. What they said is completely logical and is not mystical, is Christianity, is the fact that we need to walk consciously and choose the kingdom to the flesh. Simple as that.
Can I share something, Mauricio?
Sure.
I think I experienced this a few times, and this week, I mean, I'm just listening to everything you're saying. It's a lot to absorb. That's why I take notes. But, you know, I said something, and whatever came out of my mouth, I didn't even know. I had this attitude, and people around me reacted, and I'm thinking, well, I prayed, of course, after that, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, why did I say that? I didn't even feel anything. Something came up, I said a word, and then people were like, how can you have that attitude? And I didn't even know. And then, like, listening to what you're saying, I think part of it has to do with an emotion I was feeling. So I was upset, even though I wasn't saying it, but I think there was a deep emotion that was triggered by what someone said. Well, that's, if going by your emotions, then you are in the flesh. And I'm just thinking that's like an example of what you're teaching us right now.
Yeah, well, the works of the flesh comes from our emotions. And when our emotions are negative, when our emotions have to do with, hurts or other things that are not, you know, the list that we saw before, and there are many more that just are not all of them, then we are going to do the wrong thing and we are going to walk in the flesh. What you have to do is to walk in the spirit. You walk in the spirit, deciding to do what God says instead of doing, and you know, has to be your decision.
How do you do it when you don't even know it's there, though? Like, it just...
Well, that's what you learn. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, then you are going to find out that. This is how we had to grow into that relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is trying to correct us, and is going to show us, and it's, you know, the scripture says that, so that should help us to make that connection. The point is, you know, often people don't talk about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. This is extremely practical and helpful.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to share an example. You know, for example, what I went through the last 2-3 days with this flu. Okay. To start with, I was exercising my faith about receiving healing. That's what everybody would do if it's thought about the fact that God wants to heal us and that His desire is to set us free from sickness and disease, and Jesus paid for it. So you start claiming, you start confessing, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and so on. But, you know, sometimes you confess 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and yet there's not any evidence of change. So there it comes, you know, you start getting impatient. Well, you know, what's going to happen? So you are there and you're starting to, your patience, you know, is going to rob your faith from operating. What people do, oh, it takes lots of scripture, it can keep repeating, I'm finding faith, when instead the problem is not faith that they're missing there. What they're missing is patience. So what they, instead of wasting their time talking about trying to get faith working for that situation, what they should be saying is, wait a minute, I'm patient. I believe I'm not going to be, feeling negative about these things. And so you are there, having patience in which they are going to be holding up your faith for operating. And then, you're going to see as soon as you make that decision, and that has to be a clear decision that you make. I did it this week. Okay, so I know you can do it. At the very moment that you do make that decision, what you're going to find out is that you're not panicking anymore, you are not afraid anymore, you are not concerned anymore, you are going to be having peace, and your faith is going to be there. It was always there. The problem was not the faith, it's the other thing that was demolishing your faith. So then the enemy comes around, and pass a bit of time, and things don't, maybe you start feeling a bit more sick or something, and then fear comes into the picture. Fear is a fruit of the flesh. I mean, it's a work of the flesh. You know, God says, fear not, I am with you. Amen. So, are you trusting God? Trusting God, believing God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So you say, no, I'm trusting God. I believe God. You take that position and you hold it on. The very moment, the fear is gone. See, isn't that exactly what Philippians chapter 4, 6 to following says to do? It's exactly fear. Be anxious for nothing by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then all the good thing, all the right thing. Don't let the negative thing of your emotion pull it, push off into a tangent and into a downward spiral. Just instead, hold on to the fruit of the Spirit and let the fruit of the Spirit carry on.
Amen.
And it works. So I say, go ahead.
I just wanted to share something as well. I don't know if you remember, Pastor, I spoke to you on the phone about 2 months ago. And I was having a difficult time. And so I had really finally made a decision to just trust God for something specific. I just was like, God promised me this. I believe him. I'm going to trust him. And so I just dug into that. And then it's taken some time, but I now in this particular area, I am okay with whatever is happening. Because I had decided that I was just going to trust the Lord, dig right in, not care what was going on, not care how I was feeling. And it, not surprisingly enough, has been like a huge game changer. And so really, it's like, for me personally, every day when I can show the Lord, I'm acting, believing and trusting him for everything, then I found I had the patience. And I found that I could just not be swayed, because I was just tossed around. And I understood it was a process. I needed to see where my wrong thinking was. I needed to see my judgment. So it's like it's all part of those puzzle pieces that you talk about. We have to put them all together. But for me personally, it was just really deciding to trust God. I'm going to trust him. And then I found it was the pain. Chance came and the standing solid in his promise. So that's the thing, is it's, there's so many variables and so many pieces we have to work on, and that's where patience is key until we get there. So thank you.
Yeah, that's right. The thing is, the bottom line, all the time, trust the Lord with all your heart, And that does this, everything hangs on that, and that is another fruit of the Spirit, because, you know, that's when you, the Spirit is operating in you, that's what it's going to tell you to do. That's the most important thing, you know, that is going to, you know, he's in control. And I'm lining up with his word. And I'm manifesting the kingdom. And I am in the kingdom. And I'm going to stay there. And that's the only thing that makes a difference. Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
Amen. C'est bon. It's really good.
Can I ask you something, Pastor Mauricio?
Sure, go ahead.
I want to share something happening this week. My cousin, he went to the hospital at intensive care. He was he had COVID. And the doctor said to the family to come and visit him because it was finished with him. So anyhow, when I heard that, I said to the Lord, I said, no, you are bigger than what the doctor said. So I go and I lift him up to the Lord. And anyhow, the next day, he was feeling better. And now he's out of the intensive care. And he's just getting better and better. Just waiting to go home. Praise God.
Amen.
The Lord for that.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. The doctor is amen. Not God.
Doctor?
Doctor? Dr. McGarty?
Yeah?
In 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." No fear.
No. But that's why, you know, Fear is not is a fruit, it's a work of the flesh. So we get to, you know, deal with those things that are negative, that produces those things, and it's just simply saying no. And I substitute those with the things of the Spirit that are peace and love and joy and everything else. And, you know, and as we make those decisions, that things, all our situation changes. But I'm going to show more what Jesus thought about that. Jesus said the whole teaching on this topic.
Amen.
Is very, very interesting. And actually, you know, but people look at it in a different way, but I really think he's talking about what I'm saying.
Amen.
But I'm not going to do it today, because otherwise I gave too much
stuff. And,
you get indigestion.
Drink water.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for the teaching today, Pastor Mario.
You're welcome.
Should save your voice too, Pastor.
Actually, my voice is not bad. I'm not, you know, just that's the leftover. That's fine.
Amen.
Amen.
Hi, Patty.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Patty.
Hi. Oh, hi. Thank you, Pastor Maurizio. It was really, really, really awesome this morning. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Pastor, you're a great teacher, and we want to thank you. So,
yeah.
I don't know if I could pray for you so you can get even better. It's up to you.
Oh.
Well, this is not teaching.
No.
This is revelation.
Okay.
Amen.
People don't talk about this stuff because they don't have the revelation to understand these things.
Right. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I am. Nobody told me that. Nobody showed me that. You know, I get this from the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you.
And I know that it matches with the old scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And you can check it out with the scripture and see if anything contradicts with any of the things that the scriptures say. But it doesn't.
I know it doesn't.
That's right.
Thank you, Pastor.